Well, hi everybody, and welcome to the Rock Podcast, our number 7 in relation to the true gospel. We've been looking at what is this gospel of power rather than mental agreement. So easy to say yes to what Jesus did in our mind, but be bereft of the reality of his power that takes us from death to life. And so over the last 6 series, we've been looking at what is this true gospel that takes dead people and makes them alive, not just makes bad people better or bad people good. And this whole word around grace and this enablement to take us from this position of death to life is so critical, rather than our mental agreement or our human will making a decision for Jesus. And in part 7, we're going to be looking at the spoken word, the spoken written word, and what it is to hear the word of God, what it is to have it written on our hearts and written on our minds, so we're fully capable and able to live out what the truth calls us to. Because without this reality, we're going to find ourselves trying to do something we actually can't do. And we're going to come short of this thing called faith, and we're called to live a life by faith in God, not striving or trying, where we ultimately will burn ourselves out. So last session we looked at speaking the word of Christ, receiving the word, and today, as I said, we're going to look at what it is to receive this reality upon our hearts and our minds, so we just get to live it out. It becomes an honor, a privilege of something we just are, something we don't have to figure out, but just be. And so it's awesome again to have Maddie with me on my right, Chris and Sandra, who are a married couple with us tonight. So it's good to have them for the first time as a couple, which is cool. And we're going to unpack some of these scriptures, and I'm just going to read some of these out. And these speak to this reality that the Word of God is a spoken dimension, and that we need to have the spoken dimension heard and then written upon our heart. So Genesis 1 verse 3, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And there's a key there, right? There was nothing. God speaks, and then creation starts to be formed, and it starts with light. And I find that fascinating, you know, Jesus is the light of the world. He was obviously with the Father at the beginning, with the Holy Spirit. He speaks and in comes life. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things which are visible. It's another mystery, right? That the worlds, not world, but the worlds were prepared by the word of God, which is a spoken dimension, and made out of things which are not seen. So it didn't come from this temporal reality. It doesn't come from the natural, the physical. It came from the spiritual realm into this physical reality. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So we have this reality of faith, which is this knowledge of God, this absolute conviction, this absolute, through the hearing, but not hearing of anything, but hearing this word of Christ, which is proclaimed into the earth. John 2:22. So when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. And one of the things we're going to look at is the spoken word is the written word, and the written word is the spoken word, and we can't separate the two, but we can try to understand the written word without the reality of the Spirit, and that's where we get ourselves all entangled and in trouble, because we're trying to understand something that's concealed ultimately from us, where we need the Holy Spirit to reveal it upon our hearts and our minds. So we're going to unpack a little bit of that. Romans 4:18, in hope against hope, he believed, this is Abraham, so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken. And so God spoke this reality, he was going to have a child, and you know, against the natural reality, it looked impossible. But in accordance to what was spoken, he didn't waver in unbelief because he was a man of faith. Powerful, powerful scripture. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God which you heard from us, there we go again, the word of God which you heard, which came out of our mouths, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the Word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. So the Word of God, heard, accepted, performs a work, and a work of life within us, as we said at the introduction. So we just get to live that life out. It's not something that's hard. It's not something we toil for, we work for. It's something we receive through hearing. It performs a work, and we live from the work, not towards. Good stuff, eh? This is the true gospel. Not that we have to whip it up. We don't have to claim it as our own. We just have to receive it. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 to 13. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Once again, another power proclamation from Paul, who had received through the Spirit this word freely given to him by God to those people with him, which they spoke, so we can know what these things are. Revelation 2, 7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Coming to an end, Luke 24, 27 and 32. Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he, Jesus, explained to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. So once again, Jesus is concealed within the scriptures, and it's Jesus that brings himself to life from the scriptures. So in essence, the Spirit, Jesus, brings the written reality to life. They said to one another in verse 32, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? Awesome. It's a whole feast in there. And I would encourage you to go and take each of those passages and just spend time with the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to show you and reveal to you what's concealed for you, and ask him to write the Word of God on your heart and on your mind so you're just able to live out what he calls us to. So, first question is going to you, Sandra. Why is the Word of God a spoken dimension first before it's a written one?
The reference point is always God, right? And that's the thing. So before the world even came into being, there was God. And the first thing that we see of anything happening is him opening his mouth. Mm-hmm. And so he is the originator. He is the father of all. And his way of procreating, his way of reproducing himself, is through his word, because his word's not it's not something that we understand through our reference point of what's a human word. You know, words are light and casual, but his word is living and active. It literally produces after its kind. It's like a seed, and so the seed comes and produces the life of the seed. And the proclamation of that life that is coming from the living Spirit, because he is Spirit, you know, he's not a man, he's Spirit. So it's to do with his breath being released and his life being released through what he says and what he proclaims. Then it's been written down by those that have heard, have received it. And then that, you know, his desire is that it would not just be written down on pieces of paper or parchment, but it be written on our hearts, so that we have the ability, the formation of the Word of God in us, which ultimately is Christ, isn't it? Yeah. So there's so much, but the whole paradigm is from the perspective that he is the initiator. That's kind of the starting point. So in the beginning, you know.
And I love what you said there about his breath, right? He breathed life into Adam, who was just made of the earth. And when God breathed and Adam became a living soul. And, you know, I love that reality within Māori and Māoridom where they, when they hungi one another. And when I was with Selwyn recently, he was sharing me what that was. And it's like when they go nose to nose and they feel the breath of the other person. It's, it comes from the Bible. That reality comes from the scriptures, which is powerful. And so you see the Trinity of God just speaking right at the beginning, his reality, right, which is in an unseen realm, but comes into this, well, it forms the seen realm. And just a powerful reality for us to grasp. And so not us, right? Because it doesn't say in the beginning was the scriptures. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says in the beginning was the Spirit. In the beginning was God. In the beginning were these, let's say the three triune Godhead. And they spoke life from, because they are life. It wasn't like they wrote a book and said, now read that. Yet, as you've said, prophets wrote down through the anointing of the Holy Spirit what has been spoken. And I love that reality in Peter where it says you cannot interpret the scriptures. We don't get to interpret the scriptures. The Holy Spirit's role is to interpret the scriptures. We get to receive the living scriptures written on our hearts and minds so we can just live in accordance to the spiritual word. Any thoughts, Chris, around why it's a spoken dimension?
Yeah, well, the whole thing is that with God, there's patterns right the way through. And the pattern right from the very beginning was he spoke. And you see it in Moses, when Moses goes up to the mountain, God speaks the commandments before he wrote them down on the tablets. Yeah. And it says, if you read right throughout the Old Testament particularly, you'll see things like Isaiah says, listen carefully to me, incline your ear and come to me, listen that you may live. So right throughout, you know, prophet after prophet after prophet, it talks all about the hearing of God, because it's the hearing that enters into the spirit, into the heart. Yeah. Not so much, well, the mind's renewed because of that.
Yeah.
But it's that whole pattern that God has, and it's right through even to the New Testament.
And we're going to look at what it is to hear, because I think it's a vital part, isn't it? Like people might think, oh, well, I listen all the time. I listen to the person speaking on a Sunday. I'm listening today, but nothing seems to happen. And there's that difference between the natural listening and spiritual hearing. And so I'll get you guys to share a little bit your own reality of hearing this word that is eternal, this gospel that is eternal, not just the words of English or whatever natural language it is that happens to come out of a speaker. Any thoughts, Maddie, on that? Why is the word of God a spoken dimension first?
I was just thinking about the first verse that you read from Genesis, and I've been pondering over it, and what kind of illuminated to me was just how he speaks about that he created the heavens and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. But it wasn't, like, it's almost as if these things exist, the scriptures exist, but until I say that there now be light, it's not illuminated, and it doesn't have any life to it. And so, yeah, it's just why it needs to first be spoken is that it can actually just be something that's just a book, it's just knowledge, but when it's illuminated by his initiation, that he says, and he initiates it and says, I now say there's light here, as in love, as in himself, then it comes alive. But yeah, that's all I have to
add. That's cool. And I think this is this reality between the spoken word is a written word and the written word is a spoken word, like I said at the start, and we're not to separate the two. Challenges is in what you just said there, is in attempting to try to know the written word through the flesh and not having it illuminated by the Spirit. And then the Spirit wants to take what's in a book and write it upon our hearts and our minds through power. Mm-hmm. And for me, this has always been the challenge. It's always going to be the test. It's always going to be the opportunity for us as His people to come into what is written and what is already finished. And I love what you said there. Everything that was written was concealed within Himself. And so as He speaks, what is already finished comes out of his being.
Mm.
Once again, we cannot separate him from his work from him, because it's one. Mm. And the power of that oneness, that divine fellowship, that as we enter into fellowship, because we've been called into fellowship, you know, 1 Corinthians 1:9, and then we start having this common union with what is already finished and written, because he is the author of the entire story.
Mm.
So before it ever began, it was already done. And so it's a bit like we're a catch-up. And so to not be able to hear what is spoken, written, and have it then written upon your heart is to not be able to live in accordance to the word. And we need to be able to be living in accordance to the word, because the Bible talks about running in a race that is already set. And so if we can't see this prophetic dimension that is, that the scriptures speak of, this eternal purpose, then we're going to create our own. And look, we do.
That's right.
And we have. And we will continue to, because that's what we do when we can't hear and see what already is. Mm. And yet God has given us the scriptures, right? The Jews, they what's the right word I'm looking for? They not maintain them, but they were so passionate to keep these things living, these oracles living and contained, and yet they actually missed it themselves.
Mm.
And so there's the example, right? But we have these living scriptures that must be living, sharper than a double-edged sword, because it's the Christ, the Spirit within them, which is a finish, but it's a spoken dimension first.
It's interesting because, you know, with the disciples, in Luke, it talks about how when Jesus was speaking, it really roughed up the Pharisees and the chief priests, and it said the well-to-do men, basically. But they were afraid of the people because they were hanging on every word that he spoke. Now, unfortunately, you could be hanging on to every word. It could be something. I mean, Jesus, when he preached, it was different. It wasn't like the teachers of the day. There was something about what Jesus spoke that was resonating, but they were trying to work it out still here. So even though they were hanging on to every word, they still couldn't comprehend it or understand it. But then it was written that they wouldn't. So,
well, they weren't of the Spirit, right?
Yeah.
And so because it's a spiritual word that is being spoken, you have to be of the Spirit to have any chance of comprehending anything.
Mm.
And so if you're not of the Spirit, you're not going to get it, even though it was written down, right? There was a Messiah coming. This is what he looked like. This is what he was going to do. But because they weren't of the Spirit, you can't receive the Spirit, because the flesh and spirit are in opposition. Mm. No matter how much you believe you think you can and how much you think you're not going to miss your Messiah or not hearing the truth, the reality is if you don't know how to operate in the Spirit, hence baptism in the Holy Spirit, power of the Spirit, being born again, you've got no show or no chance of actually living like Christ. Mm. You might be justified by his blood, but there's no chance you're going to live out what he calls you to, right? And we run the risk of being exactly like that.
Yep.
We say we believe, but our lives reflect something completely different.
Yeah.
Because we're not either born of the Spirit while being justified, or we are, but we have no idea how to live, and our carnal mind shuts everything down before our heart has a chance to grab hold of that truth, which you see in that temple, right? They were spellbound, not the right word, but they were captivated by his words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me. And they're all like, and then it's almost, hold on a minute, you're the carpenter's son. What are you doing here talking about this? No, you're not who you say you are.
Yeah. And then, of course, they yell out, crucify him, flip-flop, you know.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Okay, second question. In our own words, explain what hearing the Word of God is. So your reality of hearing, not listening.
It's that my reality of that is the touching and the changing of the innermost place, rather than the trying to think something different because I've heard something that's different. So the when he speaks to me, there's change that happens, not because I've made it happen, but because he's made it happen, and it's powerful, and it's easy, and it's life, and it's not about me having worked it out. In fact, all the other of the trying to work it out, I know that way, and I've explained here before, I know that way very well because I spent decades in that searching, really searching, and going down all sorts of rabbit holes, but never sort of grasping at this, could it be this, looking for that one key, you know? And yet when he speaks into your innermost being and proclaims his truth, his life, the change is there. It's done. It's not worked out. It's not a little bit and then, you know, you just take that away and you try harder, Sandra, you know? It's like it's all the striving is taken out of it and it's just life. It's the difference between death and life. But again, he's got to show you. He's got to show you that, you know, because it took me to be brought to a place to see the futility of the other before I even realised that there could be something else, even though I was desiring it, you know. I wanted, but I didn't even know what I wanted, but I knew it wasn't this. But at the same time, because I had no other reference point, I just muddied around in that. And there comes God with his mercy, you know, with his grace to do what only he can do, you know.
Yeah, it's so tricky, right? We're born functional. We're born with an operating system that's functional, not in fellowship. We don't know how to abide, and we try really hard to hear the English or the Afrikaans or the Tsereo or whatever the language is. We think if we listen hard and understand, then we'll have it. We write it down, and we put our 3 points down, and we've certainly got it. And it's not that at all. It's something that's given to us and can even be really hard to explain using English words, but it's a reality that you know because, like you said, it's changing you. And there's just this frequency that you get used to hearing, which is a substance that sits behind the word. So it's not even the words, it's the word that is concealed within the words that you're hearing for. And you're hearing whether that is of the Father or whether it's not, right?
It was a really, sorry, just before you go on, that is a really noticeable thing. Like particularly scriptures that I knew really well and I'd studied really hard, they evoked a particular response. Mostly it evoked the response of, if I only do this, I'm going to get that. And when he did this number on me and showed me, it was like the whole thing flipped. And like you say, it was what's behind. It's like, this is the reality of what I do in you. It's not something that I'm holding up there if you will just try harder. So the flesh literally sees it back to front, you know, without realising.
Chris, you were gonna.
I was going to say that it's a resonating within the heart. For me, that you don't always understand it, but there's something happening in here that the word is being spoken, and suddenly, boom! There's something happening here, and it's not being outworked here, but there's something happening here for me.
Yeah, and that's like the road to Emmaus, right? They said, weren't our hearts burning when he was speaking of himself through the scriptures, right? There was this realization before they even knew who he was. Something was happening in them, and it wasn't until afterwards that they worked out what it was. And so it's interesting you said that, right? Because we're taught it drops from here to here, you know, but Jesus said understanding is where? In the heart, not the mind. So that whole teaching of it drops from your mind, if you just get it in your mind that it will drop to your heart, it's false. It never does.
Yeah.
It's got to enter the heart, and then that way up the mind gets renewed through the spirit. That's why it says we must be renewed in the spirit of our mind. But everything starts, you know, the opposite to what it does in the world.
Mm.
Yeah. Yes, the mind is our superpower when you're in the world, of the world, and you use your mind to understand things, right? Not like that at all in the kingdom.
Mm.
And that's why we need a broken spirit and a contrite heart, because we're never, ever going to hear unless our heart has been broken on the rock, because it's hard, right? It's rocky. It's never going to be able to take in or hear this word, this seed, because it's of a different source. So there must be a breaking up of the ground to be able to receive this brand new seed that produces the work. I mean, it's such good news. You just like enter in his rest. God does all the work and you get to enjoy it. And so you, I've just come back from Cambodia, right? I was there. I was not here, you know, and a mirage of me was over there. I was literally there, but I was doing no work. I was just getting to release what he'd put on my heart. And so it's fun. It's exciting. You can go, 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 and go. It's awesome. Any thoughts, Maddie?
Yeah, just adding to what the others were saying, like I know for myself that hearing what I'm hearing for now is a declaration of who he is, that no longer am I asking for him to confirm it here in the natural, or needing the natural to say and confirm, well, is that true? It's just, I don't know, I can't explain it. It's really difficult. But the image I have is, you know, the walking on the water, and my concentration is no longer the water. That it's like, well, still the waves first and then I'll walk, you know? It's just my eyes are fixated on him. And then based on the sight I have of him and who he is, then determines how I'm going to walk and how and whether I'm going to get distracted or not. And I just see that as no longer are you hearing for the prosperity gospel that all will be well, and or looking at the bank account to tell me all is well, or whatever it may be. Because we're often looking for security here. I'm just like, no, tell me who you are, because I know that's the only thing that's going to keep me still and whatever trial or circumstance may come. And so, yeah, like what I hear hearing is hearing who he is, that just naturally has you go, let go of this natural realm, eh?
Yeah, it shapes everything, doesn't it? Hence the question, who do you say I am? It's an identity issue. It's not a it's not an external reality in front of you issue. And that's why we need a faith greater than what's happening to us at any given time. You know, we need to hear his word, which creates faith, which trumps the natural.
That's right.
So like you say, you're not getting out of the boat based on whether the waters are calm or not. You're getting out of the water based on what he says. And because you know him, then you trust and you have faith in him, you get out in the chaos. Because it's not really that chaotic in him.
That's right.
It just looks like it is. And that's why we need a faith that overcomes, you know, and everything starts and ends really in identity. And I think that's the issue. There's an identity crisis. We say we know him, and he says to us, so you say you know me, you call me Lord, Lord, then why don't you do what I say? Right? So there's this knowing who he is, knowing what he says that is, this is dimension, which is I am. So if I am, why aren't you getting out the boat? Because you're trusting in what you're looking at, not in who I am and what I say. But once again, this hearing, not listening, right? You know, they listened a lot and didn't hear pretty much anything he said. You know, be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of Herod. And they think he's talking about bread, but he's talking about teaching. Because he wasn't talking. They didn't hear what he was saying. They just literally heard. And that's why it says, right, we've got to be quick. Was it quick to hear and slow to speak? The natural is we want to share. But there's actually the reality in the spirit is hear what the spirit Because that's a fine tuning. That takes time. That's something that has to be petitioned for. It's not something you just, oh, yep, you know. But once you've discovered it, that's where it goes into fast. That's what I've found for me. It's like, it's not hard to hear, whether it's his voice or whether it's the word. And there's two different realities there, because the abiding life just seems to flow. So it can take a while to find, because you're not entering in, but once you've found, then you find everything in the found dimension, and away you go, you know. So you end up living Christ-like. You're living beyond earth, which is the most exciting part. All right, third question, guys. Why do we need to hear and receive the Word of God as opposed to read to understand the Word of God? This is a deal breaker. And one that really messes people up, because read to understand. I read the Bible, I read the scriptures, but it's a spoken dimension. So you're not trying to read what we're saying right now. No one who's listening, you're trying to hear us. You're listening to what is being said. So why in the kingdom of God is it hear to receive, not read to understand? Chris.
Well, that's the whole thing. And I did a lot of that, to read to understand. That was my mindset. Even when I had been awakened to, you know, all this new reality, it was still trying to work it out up here, which is the trap, because it's a filter in your mind that filters everything according to what I see, according to logic, according to our own understanding, but it has no life. That's and right. It can't. And I mean, I've preached sermons before, and, you know, you research it out, and you look up this and you look up that, and you get this little antidote and you get five steps, but none of it has life. But when the Spirit reveal something to you, suddenly there's something burst in here, and then you're declaring it because there's something been outworked here, and you're able to testify to it. But when it's all mind, it's dead works, and you're only leading dead people to dead people. You know what I mean?
And it's not good, right? It's good stuff, but it's just, you're saying it's not life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's a difference between good and God, and there's a difference between the two trees. And so information's not revelation. And yet it's not wrong, you know, but it's not the word. And these are these challenges, isn't it, that we go, oh, you know, I love telling people, you know, Jesus wasn't a Jew. What do you mean? Well, he wasn't a Hebrew either. What do you mean? And they look at you and say, well, he wasn't. He was spirit. Right? Tell me where it says Jesus was a Jew. I'll show you where it says God is spirit. Right? And I'm of another order, you know, and I'm not of the physical lineage. And so right there, we're being faced with the reality of earth or eternal. Yes, he came through a physical bloodline that was Jewish, that was Hebrew, but he wasn't. And that's that dimension, right, we've got to enter into, because it's spirit, not flesh. It's eternal, it's not earth. And so God uses the earth to bring forth this eternal reality. Otherwise, we've got no chance of grasping this dimension. And so this man who was from heaven, right, not of earth, speaks into the earth. And the earth, no one, it says, had any idea who he was, not one person. And yet they're all listening.
And that's the problem, isn't it? If our whole attitude is to try and understand, and I think that is the mindset that we're born in. Correct. We have to realise that that is our default setting. It's not we're bad, we're just fallen, like every single human, you know, and we're born and we've partaken of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So that tree, that operating system, is constantly sorting things out and categorizing and dividing things into this and that and this and that, in the false belief that as it understands, it's going to receive power and going to receive life. And those things are utter deceit. That's the whole thing. And yet there was another tree in that garden called the tree of life, who is the person, Christ, the living spirit and the life-giving spirit who gives to us what we don't have. And the reality of not being able to understand, again, he has to show you. He does have to show you that, because you don't know what you don't know. And unless you, in hearing the testimony of those that are have received this life, knowing that they never understood it themselves, that they came into it, to hear that testimony, to know that there is something there for me, for you, for everyone, that he wants to give us, but it's not going to come through us trying to understand it again, you know, as it was given to, you know, Greg, so it's going to be given to Sandra, you know. The same spirit is going to reveal and desires to reveal. It's like that's how the spirit was given and why he was given.
And it keeps God at the centre of the story, right?
Absolutely.
And it keeps us all looking to God, not looking to man. So if we can understand it, then we don't need the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
Right? And so we're looking to one another, and we do that, right? We, oh, I love that preacher. I love that preacher. Well, you realize by now, you know, you're supposed to have the best preacher, the best teacher. His name is the Holy Spirit. But because of the way of man, this understanding, we look to those. And this is what I love about it, right? It takes your IQ completely out of it. So the person with the lowest IQ can have greater knowledge because of the humility of their heart than the one who has a higher IQ. God levels the playing field and makes it accessible to all. And in that, it keeps him, as I said, at the center of the story, and us needing him and dependent on him. And like you said there, we just don't have a clue what was lost. You know, we just think it was our place in heaven that was lost. We lost everything. We lost our fellowship, right? We lost our divine oneness. We lost what it is to walk in this knowing reality. And so we've been poisoned, and our default settings, like we've got a computer chip. He needs to remove it and put a brand new chip in. And so it's a brand new way of operating. And as you say, Chris, before, you can be born of the spirit but still operate from the realm of the soul. And so your mind still dictates everything, your will dictates, and your emotions dictate. And so, like you were saying, Maddie, you don't have faith, and so you're living in this reality of this uncertainty and depending what it looks like on the outside, as opposed to hearing a word that gets birthed in your center of your being that just is. And I love it, right? God is. It's just a word that is. And you know you haven't figured it out, but you've got it. And it's powerful. And it gives God all the glory. It's divine work of grace from start to middle to end. We just get to receive. And so it's hear the word. No, read the word. So for me personally, I think I've shared this with you guys, I read the scriptures out loud. No matter where I am, on a plane, in cafes. It's better in cafes because there's music pumping and I don't know, I have an ability to focus, and I read it out loud so I can hear it. It says faith comes from hearing, not reading. And so I read it out loud and I read it out and I read it and I read it, meaning, sorry, I speak it a number of times, and then I'll sense something hit my spirit. Then I marinate on that. And that's where you guys know. And then I start writing. And all of a sudden, what was received in a seed is now 20 pages of notes. So what was spoken gets written down. But I don't try to read. I've heard something. And once again, it takes us out of the picture and puts him in the picture. And so we move from that position of receiving, sorry, hearing to receive, and then have him renew and live. All the stress gone, and it's Sabbath rest. It's how he created to be, and we're operating in those patterns from heaven. All right, let's look at question number four. Why must the Spirit reveal the Word of God in us as our way of learning? We've sort of touched on this a little bit. And not through flesh and blood attempting to understand through the carnal mind. Why must the Spirit reveal the written Word of God in us as our way of learning, and not through flesh and blood man attempting to understand through the carnality of his mind? On a go, Chris.
Well, I think one example that really spoke with me was those two men from the road to Emmaus. Here they are, and they see the stranger, of course, Jesus speaking. And I remember you saying, I remember we had a group at your place one day and you were reading from the book that you had written, and it flowed really well that night. And you mentioned about how when the author speaks the word, it has a powerful impact. Well, the author's walking right next door to them. Mm. He's the best-selling author. Mm. But he's speaking that word, and it's not going here because, as they said, they testified there was something happening in their hearts. They couldn't understand it, but it was being spoken here and it was hitting them. And so the Spirit was doing a work in them and they didn't even know it. It was just happening. And so when Jesus was revealed to them, everything just fell into place. And so it's just that so beautiful thing as the Spirit was revealing bit by bit as Jesus was speaking. It was their hearts that were engaged, not their minds.
Oh. Mm. Absolutely. Any thoughts, ladies?
Again, I think the in-word just, you know, it whacks you. because God is about... you know, he's about the in place and everything in God is birthed from inside, and it overflows to the outside. Everything of man tries to fix the inside by changing what we do outside, and it's a completely reversed operating system. And the Spirit is the only one who actually can get in.
Mm.
He speaks and declares that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, right? And the sword of the Spirit is the double-edged sword that can actually pierce and divide between soul and spirit, can actually, you know, judge the thoughts and intents of the inner man that we don't know, you know? And yet the way of man is to navel gaze and try and figure out what's wrong and what do I need to modify and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
The Spirit of God just comes straight in, and the things that you were hassling about, and even Christians, you know, oh, it's this, I've got to change this behaviour, and I've got, you know, I'm da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then the Spirit comes in and he's not even talking about that. But what he does... it may overflow onto that, but that's actually not the main thing. We don't even know what the main thing is, you know. So he has to come in to the inner place, and he does. He's just the best one at doing it. He's the only one that can do it, you know.
Yep. And I think, once again, it's first-based realities are so important, right? It's like if you don't know everything's concealed, then you don't know why it needs to be revealed.
Mm.
And then you don't know why the Holy Spirit's the one that needs to reveal it. Right? So Proverbs 25:2, the glory of God to conceal a matter. So God hides things. He conceals them. We've fallen. Mm. So this whole realm is concealed from us but for us. Mm. Hence, he's the one. So he becomes the how. So, you know, people ask how to. Mm. And it's the how is the who.
Mm.
Right, the how is the Spirit, because he's the one commissioned to bring to light within you what is concealed.
Mm.
And it even says Jesus is a mystery himself in which all the treasure and the wisdom is hidden in.
Mm.
Right, you know, Matthew 11:25, what a fantastic plan, Father, to hide and conceal from the wise and the intelligent, those of the spirit of pride, who think they can come to know us through the agency of flesh and blood themselves.
Mm.
So let's hide it from them. Let's watch them give it their best go, so then hopefully they'll actually fall on us and that operating system will smash and they'll realize they can't through trying really, really, really hard. You'll get that out of your system, come to the wit's end and give up, right? So he does that because he knows our hearts and he knows they're broken. He knows we've been poisoned.
Mm.
So he does it to conceal, to help us, so then we can receive life, because in that dysfunctional state, we're going to get more dysfunctional, and we'll use it to lord it over others because we do that already.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then what does it say? That knowledge puffs up.
Mm-hmm.
So the fruit of this is this puffing up, not this love that edifies.
Mm-hmm.
Going the wrong way. So I love the fact that he protects us from us.
Mm.
What a good God. In the hope that we would learn his way, his patterns, his design, so we can come into life, because there's no life in our way.
Mm.
He's not doing it to ruin our fun. He's not doing it to be a killjoy. He's doing it because he created us for life.
Mm.
And he knows as if we continue in us, we're never going to learn. And Paul's a classic example. If you want to look at anybody, study the life of Paul, right? When his grace called me out of Saul, not when I had a good idea or a good intention through my human will, and I heard this message about Jesus, and I thought, wow, that's a good, prosperous message. I think I'll choose Jesus. No, he says, I was going at 100 miles the opposite way. I then, grace called me out of, he said, no one revealed this gospel to me. No one taught me, no flesh and blood. It was man. And I received it through the revelation of my Messiah, who I was persecuting. That alone just says it all, if you know what you're looking at, because you've heard it. Right, you've heard it, you've seen it. Outside of that, you just read it and go, right, cool, and carry on your merry way, trying to enter in through flesh and blood. You know, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Why? Because my Father revealed, right, who I am to you. They didn't get it, hence Simon, not Simon, Philip. How long have I been with you? And you still yet don't know who I am, the identity crisis, right?
Yeah.
So this is this massive reality of must receive through the Spirit, not attempt through us. All right, let's come to wrap this up. What is it to have the spoken word written on our hearts and renew our minds? I'm going to go to you, Manny. What is it to have the spoken word literally written on our hearts and renew our minds? God said, I'm going to put my laws upon your heart and your mind. No longer hearts of stone, we have hearts of flesh. It's no longer of the letter, it's of the Spirit. Power of God wants to engrave his word.
I think for myself, my experience of it has been as he's written his word on my heart, as I've heard the substance of him, it has changed the way I think. And that results in the way that I hold myself as a person. It's changed, you know, certain narratives that I have in my mind, I've had in my mind for years, whether it be feelings of rejection, feelings of not belonging, identity, it's a huge one. And I'd say number one, that was the number one thing that it changed, was my identity and no longer needing to work for things, no longer needing to seek man's approval, but number one, not his approval in my works and things like that. But it changes, and then it changes your character. That's the crazy thing. It literally changes. I remember reading scripture previously about 1 Corinthians 13, seeing the characteristics of love, and in my heart of hearts, knowing that I'm falling short, but not wanting to admit it. And also, in a way, not really knowing that I couldn't admit it. That's the strange thing. It's almost like a sentence that you just can't finish, but you'll come back to it later.
And you never do, right?
Yeah, no, you never do. But yeah, and now looking at it and knowing that I didn't do any of it, but knowing that that is increasing as he is imparting himself and revealing who he is and who I am in turn, as that oneness is formed, eh? And so that's how I see as the written word, then the transformation of who you are, how you see others, because now you're seeing everyone part of this big picture, and also how you relate to the world around you as well as the natural things that you see, that no longer are you vying after these things. You know, your whole life isn't built or trying to be built about around your career, around, you know, the white picket fence, the beautiful home. Not saying that there's anything wrong with those things, but I'm not using those things to give me purpose anymore.
Yep.
So, yeah. It's changed my whole thought life, I've, to be honest, yeah.
And once again, I think it can be hard to sort of put it into words, right? It's just God at work, and you go, and if you know it, you know it. That's that thing, right? It's not something you are trying to understand. It's something you know, and that you know. Mm. And so how it's explained is very different. Each person can explain it differently. Yeah. But when it's happened, you know it.
Yeah.
And so you can almost sometimes finish people's sentences, but trying to actually explain it, I just go, it's him.
Yeah.
He does what he says he'll do. Well, how? Through him. But how? Through him. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's as simple as that. Mm. Any thoughts, guys?
Yeah, it was the number of years you were taught you'd had to memorize scripture over and over and over again to get it.
Yep.
That, and yet it had no impact. But scripture written on your heart by the Holy Spirit suddenly brings a conviction and an inner reality that's not there, that is captured from the mind. So it brings about that change.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool.
It's funny, you know, that scripture is, you know how I said I read everything backwards? So that was one of the scriptures. So if I just put enough scripture in, I'm going to be transformed. That was how I read it.
Yep.
And it's like, so what did it produce? What was my life? There was a lot of fear. There was a lot of anxiety, a lot of frustration, fear of failure, absolute disgust in myself because I was always falling short, always sin-oriented. There was the whole deal. So again, identity is the major thing. That's what I hear you saying. And absolutely, it's like, so even when, if he is saying something that he's shining light on, he's saying that's not who you are, which is entirely different thing from, you rotten sinner, you need to repent right now. Do you know what I mean? It just comes from this, that's not who you are, because you are righteous, you are complete in me, but you don't know all this stuff, and I'm showing you who you are as I show you who I am, you know? And all of that, you see that your life, who you actually are, you've never known it, because it's always been hidden in who he is. And until he reveals who he is, you don't know who you are. And when he starts revealing who he is, then you actually understand and come to understand more and more who you actually are in this other life, whatever that thing was, you know, is just something behind, you know, that you're so thankful that you know why you're here, you know.
And there's such a difference, right, between entering into the reality of what's written through the agency of the Spirit, as opposed to going through what's written through you as the agency. So we tend to go through rather than enter into, right? We take the scriptures and we read through them, and then we start again, and we read through them, and we start again, and we read through them, but we never enter into the dimension that's being spoken of. And that's where all the life is. And you see this beautiful pattern. It's the Father's truth. He sends the Son, who only speaks the Father's truth. And then the Holy Spirit is sent by Jesus, who only speaks what Jesus spoke. And disclose. He said, I will disclose to you all that is. And then you have this spoken reality at the start that got written down. Then it then gets spoken and it gets written down.
Mm.
And then it gets spoken and gets written down. And it and that's true discipleship.
Mm.
Mm.
It's the spoken, written word that started off before the foundations of the earth. God speaks, the Son comes, He speaks, the Spirit comes, He speaks, He writes, and then it repeats through us. And so although we can't write it, we speak of what's been written, and then we pray and we hope that the Holy Spirit grabs it and then writes it just like He did at the beginning of creation.
That's right.
And so this pattern, this heavenly pattern, and then this transformative discipleship, because we're entering into what is being spoken, takes place. It's not just us having cups of tea, doing Bible studies on a Wednesday night, leaving, and everyone is unchanged because we've just gone through.
Mm.
We haven't entered into what is being declared, and what's being declared hasn't entered into us and hasn't been written through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're unchanged. So at best we've got information about, but we don't have the knowledge of, and we need the knowledge of. And the only way you get the knowledge of is through the Holy Spirit, who's been commissioned to write this living word upon our hearts and our minds. So once again, it brings us back to the absolute dependency and the need for humility of spirit and the posture of that heart to wait upon the Lord. Outside of that, you won't be able to live. But what I've found is as you enter into that, your life becomes a living testimony of what's actually written on the pages. It's not like that's that and you're here. You have synergy. You have oneness. You have divine fellowship. You're going through and experiencing what others did that is written down, you know. And so you will have suffering with the Christ for truth. You will experience this love that goes beyond comprehension. You'll be hated by your brothers and sisters and the lost world, right? You'll experience it all because the reality of what is now becoming yours, and you've become one with the God who is, and the testimony that is, and the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy, is becoming your testimony. You're having fellowship with it all.
Beautiful.
And that's the goal, right? And it's greater than what you might go through. So although you might be, you know, hard pressed, you're not taken out. You're not crushed, because the reality within you is greater. So the life within us is greater than what we go through. And that's where hope is. Joy, peace, love, you know, this fruit of the Spirit that is grown. It's not given. It's grown over time because the word implanted upon us, written on our hearts and our minds, enables us to live. So out of our body comes the manifested life of Christ, the true gospel. Any final thoughts? Anybody want to wrap anything up?
I just thought it was so powerful in the sense that Paul was doing exactly that. You know, how it's spoken, it's written on our hearts, and then we speak that. And of course, when he says, you know, for Thessalonians there, you know, you received the word of God from, you heard from us. So Paul knew what it was, and it wasn't with persuasive words. It wasn't with the bells and whistles. It wasn't with all the motcons that we have today. It was spoken from a humble heart, but he was speaking from the Spirit of God, and he knew it was the Word of God, not his interpretation of it. And that's so powerful. But then Paul also lived in that revelation of he knew he was speaking in the sight of God. He knew God was there, and speaking from that realm. And I wonder how many preachers have that fear of God in them too, to actually only produce what God speaks and then he testifies it out.
Absolutely. It's a living word, right? It's a revealed word given that you should be speaking, not your interpretation or even nice points and principles. As good as they are, that's not the word of God. You know, reading a passage, putting it down, little story. That's just a nice story with some points. We need the living word, and you can only get that through revelation. Hence on the revelation. A man can receive nothing unless it's revealed. And like you said, whether it was Jesus, Paul or me, if Jesus was right here and Paul was right here and I'm here, we should all be speaking the same thing because that's the pattern, right? The Father, truth. The Son spoke the Father's truth. The Holy Spirit spoke Jesus. So then it's me. If I'm the odd one out and it's my interpretation of what I think they're saying, then I'm going to mislead people. Hence, greater accountability for what? Those who are going to teach. It's right there for you. So it's a safeguard for me, it's a safeguard for others, and it's how God works through revelation because it's concealed. So only revelation, only speak the word, everybody wins. If we think we can come into this through our own understanding, through studying the original languages, at best you've got good technical information, but as you, as we've said, it's not from the tree of life. The root system of that good knowledge is death. So it's life painted up as death, or death painted up as life, sorry. Leads people astray, puffs us up. And unfortunately, we don't live as Christ. We can't keep the first commandment. You know, but you can lay hands on the sick. You can get up there and speak, but you can't keep the very first thing you're commanded to keep.
And, you can, and your inner world is not the character of Christ, is it? You're not partaking in his nature because you're striving and you're fearful and you're looking for affirmation and all the all the other things because that thing has still got you.
Yeah, you're still the centre of you and you need those things for your own sense of accomplishment and worth and value. All right, well, guys, thanks again. Part seven, we're moving on to part eight, maybe into the new year sometime, I think. But I hope you've enjoyed part seven of the spoken word and why the word is spoken first, then written down upon our hearts. Love to hear from you. If you want to drop us a line at all, greg@wilderness.nz. Love to hear you. Any thoughts, any comments you might have. Outside of that, we'll see you again for part number eight. Have a great rest of the week, guys. Catch you soon.
Thank you.
See ya.